it's a sound doctrine. I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of history for me. Growing up, I grew up in what was called a strict church. It was a very strict church in which, I mean, they had rules upon rules upon rules. And I can't say the majority of them came out of the Bible because they didn't. But they were, you know, everything you did, you thought you were going to hell. I mean, you couldn't, what you wore, you were going to hell. I mean, you walked down the street a certain way, you were going to hell. I mean, you breathed a certain way, you were going to hell. So now as I got older, and then I moved on, went to college, and I went to another college, I mean, went to another church when I was in Philadelphia. And while I was in that church, it was the exact opposite, to where there was nothing you could do to go to hell. I mean, you almost had to force your way into hell. You said a few words and you're saved. And I mean, no matter what, everything was great. So I was confused. And, you know, you went through those stages. Okay, so which one is right? So I've had a couple who would just say, well, don't, it doesn't matter as long as they're all serving God, right? And I was like, okay, that sounds good. And so somebody made a comment. Now, it wasn't towards this. It was in a physics class, believe it or not, to where they were talking about a bridge. And they said how scientists go over bridges. And they said, well, what if a bridge was made out of, and I'm going to throw something in there because I can't remember what he said, paper. Would you drive across it? Of course. Now, I see somebody say no immediately. I think we all feel that way because, I mean, you'd be the first and last time going across the bridge. And we understand that. So how do we know then when it's right? Amen. How do I know? What do I have to let me know, okay, Keith, you're doing the right thing? And it comes down to this title of this Order My Steps, sound doctrine. Now, the Greek word for sound is hugeneo. And I'm probably still saying it wrong. But the definition of it means to be uncorrupt. To be uncorrupt, true in doctrine. Now, what does it mean to be uncorrupt? When something is corrupt, you take the real thing, and if you remove from it, or if you add to it, it's corrupted. Think about that. You remove from it, or you add to it, it's corrupted. So the key that this is showing me, and there's a verse that we're getting ready to see right here, is this is how we're supposed to live our lives using this Bible that God has given us. Uncorrupted, or what we call sound. As you can see, it says all teaching must be completely biblical, not just a scripture here or there, completely biblical. This is what he means when he says in Titus 2, verse 2, it says you must, everybody say must. Now must means this is mandatory. So as we're reading the rest of this, this is something that has to be done. It's saying you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Did y'all catch that? Okay, he's saying you must teach what's in accord with sound doctrine. So the teaching part of it has to be in line with complete sound doctrine. Now, for doctrine to be sound, that means it has to be completely in God's word. Now, why do I say completely? Because I can take a scripture here or there and ignore a scripture here or there. That's not completely. Okay, when we give a study or something like that, you don't just pull a scripture to fit your agenda. You look and find out what the scripture says on that topic, the complete scripture. This is why a lot of the sermons have so much information, because I want to make sure you're getting everything the Bible says so it goes together. Does that make sense? I don't want to just give you a scripture to fit what you think it should say. We want to see what God is really saying about the topic. Also, it must complement and does not contradict other scripture. Okay? So in other words, you'll see it, and there's certain scriptures that if you're not reading the entire Bible may seem like they contradict, while in reality they complement. You go through the rest of the Bible, you'll see where they come together. I have yet to find contradictory scripture. But to be honest with you, I've known people, there's a guy who wrote a book who tried to put one out there to that effect where he showed scripture that contradicted each other. But there was other scripture that brought it together very nicely. This is why we need sound doctrine. We need the complete package to have it. And thirdly, the meaning is in line with how it is written in the Bible. The meaning is in line with how it is written in the Bible. In other words, what's being taught has to be fully based on God's word. Not based on how I want God's word to be. Not based on how society says it should be. But based on what God is saying. What we've done is we've restructured the Bible throughout time. You've even had, and it shouldn't be. The Bible's still the same Bible. You understand? But man has adjusted it to fit the times, to fit our settings, to fit our intelligence, and we've been distorting it ever since. And if you come back to it, you get the real answer instead of this distorted answer. Now, a requirement of all ministers, this is something that should be mandatory from the person preaching up here, is ministers is to stay sound in doctrine. That's mandatory. Now, I'll hear people give definitions of ministers, and I always say this, I always want to hear, you know, their view on me and what am I not doing. And you can say you like me, you can say I'm a nice guy, you can say, you know, all this other stuff, meaningless. But I want to make sure you hear it, he's preaching directly from the Word of God. Titus 1:9 is showing these requirements, is saying he must, there's that must again, hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it's been taught. Y'all see this? So I can't now change it and say, well, I know they said this back then, but now we do it. This is a very common practice today. Very common, which we give. Well, we used to, but now we. Do y'all get this? And this, it becomes very dangerous because it's very easy to now dismiss a huge part of the word to fit your today and now. And that's wrong. Okay? Because he says, no, I must teach it as it's been taught so that he can encourage others by what? Sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Many times people will come to me and they want me to preach something or help them with something. And so there's two ways. I can give you an emotional answer or I can give you the biblical answer. Emotional answers feel so much better, don't they? I can tell you everything's going to be okay. I can tell you everything you're doing is fine. I can tell you we're all different. Or I can tell you what the word says. A lot of times the word cuts. It says it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes it hurts to hear, maybe the problem is you. Maybe it's something you're doing wrong. We don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But what I want to hear is the truth. Remember when the rich man came to him and he was bold. He came to Christ and said, what do I need to do to have eternal life? And he told him the truth. He said he looked at him and he loved him. But then he told him what the word, based on the word. He says, you have to give up all of that. Give it to the poor and then come follow me. Do you understand that? Based on this, him and using the word, Christ gave the truth. And this is what we must do. And more I hear us give emotional answers, not biblical answers. And that becomes the problem. He's saying to encourage others by sound doctrine and to refute those who oppose it. I've had many times where people will come to you and they'll say things that sound good, even if a majority is following it, but it's not in the Bible. And that's one of the hardest things I know for us today, because there's a lot of things that the Bible will say that we have kind of pushed away and a majority may be following it. And you're saying, well, let's not talk about that. Nobody else is doing it. But you're going, but the Bible says. Remember, that was the main weapon Jesus used against Satan. It is written. He didn't give his intellectual commentary on it. He went, it is written. He's continually said, it is written. But today I'll hear people give their excuses, their reasoning. They try to wow you with their intelligence. You know what I mean? And amen that I don't have to do that because my intelligence, I'm going to have to go sit down somewhere. You understand? All I got to give you is what the word says. But you still get those that want to give you their feeling, their emotion, their all of this other stuff. And it's meaningless and very dangerous. Most times we receive unstable doctrine due to our selfish choices. That's most times. The reason why Scripture is distorted is not necessarily because of those speaking, even though they're wrong and they're held accountable for it, but mostly because of those hearing. Amen? One thing you don't hear today is we're not going to churches demanding sound doctrine, are we? Think about it. We're not demanding, I want you to give me what the word says. You know what I mean? The unadulterated word, I want you to make sure you give me clearly the word. We don't do that. We'll get other things. I was comfortable, I was happy, all these things that make me feel good. But I'm not getting, give me the truth. And God, of course, shown this. It's saying in 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4, it's saying, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. He says, man will not put up with it. He didn't say it will be hard to find. He's saying, basically, man doesn't want to deal with it. That time is now. We're deep in that time right now. There's certain things the Scripture says that we don't like hearing, right? And you love it when you get somebody that'll come up and say, well, you don't necessarily have to follow this anymore. We love that. Because it does something to us. Watch this. It says, instead, to suit their own desires. We've been building and working on more desirable congregations, more desirable teaching and not truthful teaching, not biblical teaching. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Instead of teaching what God is saying, we're more and more teaching what you want to hear. I want to hear, I want to feel this. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Right? I like that. How many times have you heard a sermon and go, amen? Now, did you say amen because you know that's in the word and they just really explained it, or you liked what you heard? Amen? I'm notorious. I remember growing up, there were times I heard things that made me feel good. I came out feeling good, and I'm saying, amen. And so somebody says, so where's that at? And I'm going, well, somewhere in here. Why did you say amen? Because I liked it. You catch that? Very common practice. If I like it. So we go and we start finding an I like it message and not tell me what he says message. Does that make sense? It was funny. I told you about how my grandmother, if you say, is that what I said? I'll give you two stories. One story in which we went somewhere and we were supposed to come back at a certain time. We didn't check with her. So we played the dumb role of, well, she didn't say we couldn't come back late. So we came back late, and of course, we were on punishment. We were like, but you didn't say. She said, no, I also didn't say you could. You understand it? So that was that way. But there was another time where we heard that we had to come back earlier. We ran all the way back home to make sure or to plead our case. And she even said, so how come when it's something you want, you come back and find out or make it clear with me? But when it's something that you don't want, you clearly run away and act like, oh, well, it's okay. She said we can stay away. You know how we do that? We do the same thing with God. When we think it's something we like hearing, we'll play it like, well, I think God said I could do that, so I'm going to do it. When it's something that goes against us, can you pray that again? Are you sure that's the right answer? For our own desires, we have allowed our desires to dictate our walk with God. And instead of our faith, God, I want to hear what you have to say, not what I feel. Jesus kept going, not my will, but your will be done. So let's recognize unstable doctrine. First of all, well, let me end this. Verse 4 says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And that's basically what has been done, and it's happening more and more today. So recognizing unstable doctrine, false doctrine will be God's word with extra added to it. So it's not like they're not using God's word, but they'll add to it. That's one way they'll do it. Just 2 John 9 says, anyone who runs ahead, the terminology for that means exactly that. It means I'm giving you the word, then you're hearing something else. You're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And they'll go, yeah. Now, it's not in the Bible necessarily, but they use the Bible to start, and then they'll go, and you can also, you see where I'm going with this? And you'll accept it because you'll say, hey, they use the Bible. And that's a dangerous thing. He says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. He made that very clear to us. It says, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. It's a very common practice today in which you'll see, like I said, I'll start off with the Bible and then, man, there's something else I added to it. You'll love that something else. But because I use the Bible, you're, man, this is great. He's saying that's dangerous. He's saying anybody doing that, be careful of them. Avoid them. It also shows it will also be not God's word at all. Not God's word. It may sound Christian-like, but it's not. 2 John 10 through 11 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching. Now, how will I know if it's this teaching? How will I know if it's from the word of God? I have to check them. Correct? I have to check. Once again, we hear things. We think we agree, and then that's it. He says, if someone comes and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. Now think about what he's saying here. If I even befriend or accept him, now I'm just as guilty as him. Amen? And many times we'll hear some teachings and we don't check them. And they could be wrong, or we know what they're teaching is not necessarily right, but because of our friendship, because of how we feel about them, we'll just go, well, you believe what you believe, and I believe what I believe, instead of realizing, no. Now, this is talking about Christians, This is not talking about non. You're going to have non-Christians bringing wrong things. There's a difference. Please know the difference, okay? 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11 explains there's a difference. You're going to have worldly people bringing bad teaching. That's going to happen. There's always a difference in our relationship. However, when a Christian says they're a Christian and they come to you and they're bringing something that's not in God's word, and you say, wait, that's not in God's word. That's your responsibility. And it's like, no, I'm going to keep teaching this. There has to be a difference in your relationships. Do y'all get this? And do we do that? No. We have people walking around kind of accepting each other's doctrine. And that's why it's gotten flown around into the church, and people are following these different things that are not in the Bible. And he's saying, if you participate with them or befriend them, now you're just as guilty in their will, in their wicked work. Also, there are usually other motives than serving God for those who teach false doctrine. Keep this in mind. People have other reasons why they teach wrong doctrine. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 6 says, if anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. Now, why is he saying that? Because these people are going to sound brilliant. They're going to seem educated. Does everybody get that? You're going to see them. You're going to see a phase in them that's going to make you go, wow. Okay, it's going to wow you. But he's saying, no, they're really ignorant people. Please don't get caught up by their big words and their experiences and all that other stuff. He says, don't get caught up into that. Okay? He says, they understand nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth, who think that godliness is a means to financial gain, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, what is that saying? So, in other words, they use God's word more as a business. How can I get more people to give me more to pay me more? So I have to now get something that goes against yours. In other words, I got to present a better product than what you present. Now, there's a problem with that. Because as Christians, we're all supposed to be, as the Bible shows, of the same mind. Right? Same purpose. Same love. Because there's only one. So how can I compete when it's supposed to be the same? Does that make sense? All right, there is no competition. So what a lot of these do, they're going to try to lure you in with something new or something that you like. Like today we hear a lot of churches call themselves an experience. Come in and have a Bible experience. Have you heard that? You know, they try to give you a feeling, an emotion. They want to make it a product instead of, no, this is a feeding that you're supposed to receive. And hopefully every part of the body is giving this. We should pray for other parts of the body doing this. But he's saying a lot of them will come in and they'll give you stuff that's not in the Bible. Oh, but you'll like it. You understand that? They'll sound brilliant, but he's saying, no, they're actually ignorant and they're very dangerous and they're doing it to make money. Do you understand this? Okay, keep an eye out for that. That's what they're showing. And understand that any distortion of the Bible or the use of strange concepts, when they use, this is another thing you have to watch out for, any distortion of the Bible or use of strange concepts. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, he says, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. That's the first thing. So there are certain things that, I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a website and plus there's books which show you what commercials use to, they're secret things to lure you in. Remember I told you, you'll be more prone psychologically to buy something for $6.99 than to buy something for $7, right? And they know that. And it's funny, here in America, the 99 works better on us. In Europe, 49 works better. I don't know what the difference is, but there is a difference. And if you go to Europe, they'll go, only $6.49. And we're like, oh, what? It was $7 yesterday, and then we're buying. Unless my wife went there, she's like, I'm not paying $6.49 for that. You know, other than that, it's a whole different thing. But do you understand that? So they've learned, even certain things, you know, the color yellow and red? Have you ever noticed that? They'll use that, or a lot of restaurants will use it, yellow and red, because that brings up your hunger. There's a lot of studies that have gone to these things to lure you in. That's a secret and shameful way. Christians have no business doing things to hit you with something. There should be no subliminal messages up here to lure you in to the word. Does that make sense? Please understand. He tells us to be shrewd, but not deceptive. There's a big difference. Okay? Be shrewd, but not deceptive. Okay, and deception is making you think something when it's really not. Giving you a lie as if it's the truth. Do you understand that? So he's saying, first of all, we get rid of secret and shameful ways, and we do not use deception, as I just explained, big difference, nor do we distort the word of God. The minute I start going, I know the Bible says this, but. Now, if I say but, you better ask me, where is that but in the Bible? You understand that? Now, when somebody says, okay, they said in the Bible they celebrate the Sabbath day. I then can go to Colossians 2 and show you, okay, this is where we don't have to do it anymore. So I'm showing you it in the Bible. You understand that? But when I say something else or bring up some other topic, and my answer is, well, that's the way they did it back then. And you're going, but that way is still in the Bible. Until you show me in the Bible, this is the way I'm doing it now. Do y'all get this? Okay, I have to make sure I grasp that. So I can't distort the Bible to fit my ideas, my situation, my culture, my intelligence. I cannot fit any of those. It says, on the contrary, watch this, by setting forth the truth plainly. Setting forth the truth plainly. In other words, it's giving you what the word says. It says, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Here's what I'm saying. So I eventually have to answer to God. My teaching, God's going to ask, and it's very clear, what you taught them, where did you get that from? And my answer has to be your word. If I go, well, I thought, I felt, I'm in trouble. Y'all get this? And many times I'll hear people say, well, maybe you shouldn't say or you should say. Once again, if I did it, there's a verse that says, if I try to please man other than God, I would no longer be a servant of Christ. Remember that verse? We can find that if y'all want to. But this is very clear, so I have to be very careful. I'm not going to lie to you. Emotionally, at times, I want to say what you want to hear. But fearfully, there's no way I can do that. Does that make sense? Because eventually, he's going to say, so where did you get that from? Now, what do I say? God, your word says. All right, now I'm covered. But if I go, I felt... You know, I mean, try that on the cop. I know it says 55, but I felt 80 miles is fine as he's giving you your ticket and whatever. You understand that? Try that. Instead of going, but it said, the sign said 55, that's why I was going. Do y'all see the difference? Okay? You can't go wrong with that. I'm just doing what you told me. I'm just following what you said, God. Doesn't matter if I agree with it, but I better be in agreement with it. Because it's the truth. And that's what he made clearly to us. We present that clearly. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. There are times I'm going to preach something and it's going to hurt your feelings. Times I'm going to preach something, you're not going to like it. But what it means I commend myself to your conscience means I'm just the messenger. Do you understand that? You know, you don't stop a mailman and go, I don't want that stuff that hurts my feelings. You go, well, I won't deliver the bills anymore. I won't deliver. No, right? I'm just giving you what they give you. You do with the person giving it to you. So the same way as a pastor, when I'm giving it to you and you come to me, I'm sorry. I know this may hurt, but the Bible says. Did y'all get this? Okay? And this is so important. So God provided a solution against the dangers of not receiving sound doctrine. Now this is in one setting, and I always said you should use this to define and understand your church. I always say use this to reevaluate even FSG or any church you may attend. This explains the purpose of church service. This shows exactly what a church was meant to be. It shows in Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Okay, so now he kept using the word some in here to let you know these people who were born in the position to do these certain jobs. Each of these jobs serve a purpose. People call it the fivefold ministry, but they all serve a purpose. The apostles were the ones who were to carry it over from Christ. They set the foundations of it. The prophets are the ones who presented the rest of the New Testament and gave us the settings we need for the rest of the word. The evangelists then spread it. In order for the churches to be set, you know what I mean? And around the world. So evangelists travel. That's why it always says to use your works of an evangelist. You know, we are evangelists in a sense as Christians, okay? Because you're going everywhere, and through your actions and through your words, you're presenting the word of God. And then it says pastors and teachers. That's the ones in those settings and those different areas that are doing the teaching and the leading and the feeding. See how that works? So he's saying God's the one who set up that structure. It's saying to do what? To prepare who? God's people for works of service. Now, I know we love, and I'm not saying not to do this, but the purpose of the church are for Christians. I'm not saying not to invite people to church. By all means, do it. But your main responsibility to non-Christians is to minister to them. To where they say, can I go to church with you? Do you get this? Because they're going to come to church and they're not always going to get it. It's for you, so you're able to do what? It says to prepare God's people for works of service. So you'll be able to go out to the world to minister to the world. They'll come to church and grow to go out into the world to minister to the world. And it keeps going on and on from there. You see how that works? So you're coming here for me to prepare you. In what? It's saying so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, hopefully you caught that. It didn't say so you as an individual can be built up. It's so that the body may be built up. You may have somebody, if you come in here and you learn, let's say you're really grasping, you're getting what the word says, that's great. But if it's just you by yourself, you fail. Why, Pastor? Remember, it's saying so that the body. I gave this example last week where I said, if you're a hand, you are worthless if the elbow doesn't work. If the wrist is not doing its job, the hand is worthless. You can be the greatest hand on earth, correct? But nobody will ever know because the rest of the body is not functioning. So it's to your benefit to help the wrist to grow, the elbow to grow, the shoulder to grow. You see, you see how this works? So that the body of Christ may be built up. So you come to church, not only for me to feed, but for us to come together, to work together, to grow as a body. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all, everybody say all. Who does that include?
Everyone.
Until we all reach unity. You know what that means? Oneness. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's powerful. Think about it. So the purpose you're coming to church is not for you just to get the word and enjoy it. It's for us to come together to get the word, not a word, not for us to even come together. Even though we sing the songs, and I'm hoping you're getting it when we do the lesson. The accountability we have to each other is not based on you. Does that make sense? In other words, don't come together as friends to enjoy each other. That's nice, but that's secondary. Okay? There's a responsibility. This is why, you know, parenting today, you have a lot of parents that become friends with their kids. One of the worst things they could have ever done. Because your responsibility is to be a parent. Okay? Parenting is different than friendship. There's a responsibility to it. You can be their friend, but you better be their parent. God's not going to question you on their friendship. He's going to question you on their parentship. That's why he tells parents, discipline your children. You see, he doesn't say necessarily discipline your friends, does he? I can't do that. Do you understand that? I can rebuke. There's certain responsibilities I have with my friends, but with my kids, I must discipline. Right? That's my responsibility. So in the same way, we have a responsibility to one another in the body. There is a relationship we're supposed to have. So we can come together in this knowledge of faith and the Son of God. Together. You do it individually, you do it your own way, you've already blew it. You know what I mean? When we had this independence by myself, I'm going to do it my way, we blew it. When we start doing it with one another, based on one another, we blew it. The purpose is us to come together in His name, based on Him. Now watch the outcome. It's saying, become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, please understand, if you, and I showed you all this verse before, and if you get a chance, look for it. Only Christ got 100% of the Holy Spirit. Y'all get that? Only, in other words, He's the only one that had every gift and could do everything. We have access to it. But if you notice in the Bible, when it talks about us, I as an individual only get a what? A portion. Now, why do I only get a portion? Because we make up the what? The body. Do you understand? So we still have that same access, but I have to depend on others in order to utilize it. See, He gets the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We get a portion because we make up the body. See, Jesus was the body. That's why it's called the body of Christ. I'm just a part of the body of Christ. Amen? So it's saying, so we can reach that point to where we're working together as a body. It should easily be when somebody's walking down the street and they see one Christian, they're ministered to. And then when they go down the street, they see another Christian, they're ministered the same way. This carries on. That's how it's supposed to work. Do y'all get this? It's saying until we all reach unity in of Christ. Now, then you get then. Everybody say then. Then. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Then. Say then again. So understand that. The reason why, have you ever gone, you heard a message or whatever, you're lost, you're a little confused, you don't know what's going on, you know what I mean, kids go back and forth, and it's usually because we haven't gotten this. We've gone to church for other reasons, we look for other things, and we're confused. And more Christians are confused. Why are they confused? Because the then didn't happen. We didn't go to church for this purpose, we're not holding our church accountable for this. So then we go, we'll hear another teacher, we're going, well, I didn't know about that, and oh, is this true, and how do I do this, why am I so confused? Because we went for the wrong reasons, we didn't build in the right way, and we as a church weren't doing the right thing. Do you understand? It says, then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Church is made to prepare the body to be solid and to be firm in Christ. That's our job. Hold us accountable to it. But come for that reason. Do you understand? If the church is doing it and you're not receiving it, you will not be sound in it. To break it down, it says God supplied the necessary roles, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Purpose is to prepare God's people for works of service. The service to build the body in unity of faith and in relationships of Christ. And the result will be a mature people no longer confused, misled, and easily deceived. That's when you know the structure is working. Not, I went and I felt good. No. Not, I enjoyed it. No. Not even if I learned something by myself. No. This is a body working together in the name of Christ. Do y'all get this? Okay. Once you get that, sound doctrine, you'll understand, oh, I get what keeps us together. So, how do we check for sound doctrine then? Once we have this establishment and the church is doing what it's supposed to, first of all, make sure it's in line with the Bible. Check everything. As the Bible said, check everything. You know what I mean? I'm giving a sermon. You hear me in the order of my steps. You hear the sermon. Next step should be you going home in your small groups as individuals and checking it. Don't just agree. Check it. One thing that blew my mind, you heard me say, and I've been to many churches growing up, when I started this process of checking it, in the beginning, it was a little disturbing because a lot of stuff I was hearing wasn't in there. And it was a little disturbing. Why? I was like, wait, this is supposed to be my life. Why? And I would go to a lot of these ministers and go, how come? And they would go, well, we know we've learned this. This person taught this. This changed from here. And I would always go back to the same thing. But how do I know you're telling me the truth if it's not in here? And I wasn't always getting clear answers. Check. That's your responsibility to check. That's why the Bereans were called more noble than the Thessalonians. They checked everything Paul said. They didn't just go, it's Paul. They went, oh, no, no, good, we love it. We're checking it every day to see if what you're saying is true. Secondly, make sure it's in the Bible. Make sure it's in the Bible. Not that it's just true. Check the Bible what they're saying. You can understand that. Make sure it's in God's Word. And make sure you got the complete message from the Bible. I can give you a scripture, not all of the scripture. I don't know if we've done a Bible study on prayer and receiving. A lot of the prosperity churches will use certain verses to make you think anything you ask for, you will get, period. Correct? And I can show you those verses, and you will go leaving out here going, so tomorrow I'm going to ask for $1 gazillion, and I should have a gazillion. There are a lot of people right now still waiting for their $1 gazillion that they asked for because they told you would get it. And then you have something that's been 10 years later, I didn't even get $100 of that $1 gazillion yet. And I'm struggling. Why is God doing this to me? Until somebody comes along and says, wait, let me show you what else the word says. And you're like, oh, I didn't see that. Oh, well, why not? Do y'all get this? You have to do this part. If I did a cake and only did half of the recipe, would you eat that cake? But I picked some of it out of there. You need the entire package put together. Do y'all get this? The complete package. That's what it means. Read the entire Bible. And then, who or what to check for sound doctrine? Check all. Everybody say all. Ministries. check all ministries. I'm giving you permission and commanding. Please check me. Do you understand me? I look forward to when somebody comes with the Bible and say, Pastor, the thing you preached on, I'm struggling with. I have no problem with that. I'd rather you tell me I'm wrong and me correct it than for me to keep preaching God's word incorrectly. This word is sacred. You understand? It's not about me. It's not about Keith's ministry. So make sure you check that. All ministries. Check books and other writings. There was somebody that was exciting about something that they were, there was a topic they went to talk to me about. And they came to me on this topic and they said, I got this book. And they showed me the book and they were like, and they were excited because they said the book had scripture in it. I said, okay. So I read it. The problem is, concerning the topic that they were concerning, no scripture. There was scripture in it, but it had nothing to do with the topic. They used scripture for every other thing in the Bible, I mean, in the book, but not on that topic. And when I would bring that to that person's attention, they were upset because that's not what they wanted to hear. And I said, it still didn't answer the question on this topic. Do y'all get this? Make sure it's the Bible that's answering you, not just some answer you want to hear. Check songs. Check songs. There's a lot of songs that we love, we sing, and they're wrong. You're praising God wrong. Do you understand? You're doing it in songs wrong. Understand to check these. Movies. There's a lot of Christian movies too we got to be careful of. Do you understand that? Okay? It's great when we're watching them. They're good messages in them. Please watch some of them because some of them, once again, can come off with the, you do this and this will happen. It can happen. May happen. But this doesn't always mean it's going to happen. Unless God said, there's certain things, a lot of promises God makes in the Bible that he says is going to happen. But in most cases, we'll kind of have our own concept of God, and then we'll throw it in the movie. So make sure you check that as well. But most importantly, check you. Check you. Many, many times, over and over again, all my life, I find out how wrong I am. Amen. And I give God the glory to know how wrong I am. That's why I may be very careful not to get up here and preach to you what I think, because then I'll end up being wrong tomorrow. When I give you the word, at least I know it's from the word. Do you understand it? Because I can feel something. Have you ever felt strong about something? You want to tell somebody about it, and maybe 2 weeks later somebody showed you that one thing you missed, and you're like, oh, guess I was wrong about that. But when you get God's word, he is the way, the truth, and the life. The key word being the. I'm going to present to you the. Check all of it. Make sure that we're doing everything based on the complete sound structure of the word. Nothing added to it or taken from it. Amen? All right.